We come to worship once again, and the hymns, the first hymn that we're going to sing and the very last one were both sung at the marriage of Eunice and myself, and at most, if not all, of the inductions that I had at the churches we've served. The first one then, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. You alone, O God, are worthy of our praise. And we want to live lives that glorify you. We also want to say, Lord, that if we have done anything that has displeased you, will you please forgive us? Will you help us, Lord, to be obedient and to live lives that do please you? Lord, the best way that we can thank you for all that you mean to us is by living lives in accordance with your will. So, Lord, we ask that you would accept our praise and our thanksgiving, and may we learn to show that in the way that we live, in the way that we serve you, in the way that we proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing the song, Filled with Compassion for the Lost.
Our reading today comes from Acts chapter 8, starting to read at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Let us come to the Lord in prayer once again. Let us come in believing prayer. Almighty and most powerful God, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer when we're together in worship, but also when we're on our own, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can come and speak with you. And you are always ready to hear and answer our prayers. Once again, Lord, we pray for the world that you created, the world in which we live. Lord, we long to see your church throughout the world be very powerful and extend your kingdom. We want, in other words, Lord, for people to come to know Jesus, to accept him as their Saviour. This is the good news that you have entrusted to us. And we pray, Lord, that by the power of the Spirit, you would enable us to fulfill that calling. We know, Lord, that there are many people in the world who are in need. We pray again for the sick, for the dying, for the bereaved. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the housebound. We pray for the unemployed. We pray for the lonely. We pray for the desperate. We pray for those who are living in poverty. Oh Lord, there are so many needs in this world. But Lord, we thank you that there are so many people ready to help. We thank you, Lord, for volunteers. We thank you for organizations. We thank you for the NHS. We thank you for doctors and clinics. We thank you for nurses. We thank you for our police service, for our fire service, and all those who in so many different ways are there to help us. And Lord, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to love and to help each other. Lord, may the message of your love be spread throughout this world. We pray, Lord, for our Queen. We pray for all who are in authority, nationally and locally. Give them your wisdom, Lord. And Lord, we pray that the world you created will become more and more like the world you want to see. May peace reign. May the end come to all acts of terror, of war, of violence. And Lord, once again, may this virus, this pandemic, be defeated. And may all people be able to live without the infection. And Lord, we want to thank you that we've got more freedom in our own country. But Lord, we ask that you would help us not to abuse it, not to go further than we should. There are still restrictions needed, and we need to be sensible. So Lord, we pray that you would enter our lives afresh by the power of the Spirit, and that you would use us to fulfill your will, that we will be ready to serve you at all times, and that we may not choose who we serve, but that we may be ready to serve whoever come before us. So Lord, would you bless us? Would you be with our own families and friends? We don't name them, Lord, but you know them. You love them just like we love them. Be with them, Lord. Give them your peace. These and all our prayers we ask in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Saviour. Amen. Now, our next song, we are marching, marching in the light of God.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching, oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching, oh, we are marching in the light of God.
We are living in the love of God.
title to our message, This is Essential. You may ask, what is essential? And the answer is evangelism and mission. No excuses, it is an essential part of our service for God. And we needn't fear, because it is the Holy Spirit who empowers evangelism and who initiates mission. The Acts of the Apostles are rarely the acts of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that challenged Philip. And he was told to approach the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. He confirmed the vision that Peter had received in Acts chapter 10, which led to the inclusion of Gentile believers. He told the church to set apart Barnabas and Saul for missionary work on a large scale. You know, it must have been just as shocking for Peter to enter Cornelius's home and see the Spirit falling on Gentiles as it may be for some Protestants today to hear of the Spirit renewing Catholic churches all over the world. Praise God. It is the Holy Spirit who fills us with the love without which our evangelism and mission and everything else is useless. You know, we grieve the Spirit by our lack of love, our bitterness, our rage, our malice. All of these things grieve the Holy Spirit. But of course, we can quench the Spirit or put the Spirit's fire out in various ways. But instead of that, we are to be filled with the Spirit for mission and service according to God's will. Not our will, God's will. Where do all the new ideas in the church today come from? The answer is simple. The Holy Spirit. You know, we may say, Lord of the church and of my life, please may the Holy Spirit be the initiator of any changes or new directions. We need the directions of the Holy Spirit. Opportunities for talking about Jesus come in so far as we want them to. The crucial question is, do I really want to speak about Jesus to others? Peter Marshall said, I remember being on holiday once and not wanting to speak to anyone about anything. But I believe the Lord challenged me near the end of the holiday. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm willing to speak to anyone in this hotel about you, if you, Lord, will guide me to someone. And of course it happened. The Spirit did guide him. Immediately after breakfast on that last morning, and he was able to help someone and bring them to faith. Most people, if not all, are hungry for God, however self-confident or uninterested they may appear to be. This Peter Marshall discovered this man at the hotel. He was a man who appeared to have everything, but he quickly admitted that he didn't know which way he was going in life. You know, many times we can find appearances to be deceptive. We need the Holy Spirit's vision for the unlikely people. Often, the most unlikely people are crying out for God. When Philip went to the desert road and met the caravan, he might well have wondered whether he was to speak to one of the servants or a soldier about Christ. Instead, the Holy Spirit said, go and join that special chariot with the VIP sitting in it. See, we need to have ready for use at any time a simple, clear explanation of how a person can become a Christian. There are some words which might be useful as we work out our way of leading a person to Christ. We need to make sure that they realize that whatever situation they're in, the Lord knows them and loves them. Jesus died for them. There are three words. Encourage them to repent. Encourage them to believe. Encourage them to receive Jesus into their lives. We should never miss an opportunity. We read the next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Peter and John were in a tough situation. Their master had been crucified and they were in danger of the same fate. Here they were in front of the religious leaders who had brought about Jesus' death. They could have chosen to answer very cautiously, guardedly. Instead, Peter declared this: it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. That man stands before you because of Jesus, completely healed. Someone has written, reticence can be as harmful as unguided speech. And it is not always what Christians say, but what they don't say. That's the thing that misrepresents the things of God. If we say nothing about these things, people will assume that they are not important. Worse still, if we remain silent when we have the opportunity of speaking for Jesus, you know, we are virtually denying him. Why are some people so bold and others so reticent in speaking for Jesus? The answer lies partly but not wholly in temperament and personality. John Stott has said, nothing shuts the mouth, seals the lips, ties the tongue like the poverty of our spiritual experience. How shy we are if our spiritual experience is rich. We are filled surely with the love of Jesus. And if spiritual issues are very real to us, we will witness to others in word and in life. I believe that we need to pray daily for a fresh vision and experience of Jesus and of his love and fresh understanding of spiritual reality. We cannot rely on a great spiritual experience in the past. We need the Holy Spirit's presence and activity each day as we read the Bible, as we pray, as we go about our daily lives. Otherwise, my friends, Satan will soon get us preoccupied with matters of secondary importance. I wonder, would I would we even recognize an evangelistic opportunity? Lord, please show us anything that is hindering us from seeking or taking opportunities to speak for you. Lord, may we accept the Spirit's calling. May we accept the Spirit's empowering. So, Lord, teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek the rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may remember that I said the first and last hymns were sung at special occasions. The end of July, on the 31st of July, Eunice and I celebrate our diamond wedding. And the other hymn that we sang at the original wedding was Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And that's what we're now going to sing.
Take my mom and sand my day.
Send us out, Lord, to serve you. Help us to share the love of Jesus. Help us to tell people the way that we can accept that wonderful gift of salvation. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit be with us, with all those we love, with all those we meet, and with all those who we will share the truth of the gospel. Be with us, Lord, forever. Amen.